Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a very big welcome to you this morning, Christian World. Let you know that 96.5 in Powdersville, Piedmont, Pelzer is up and running. So, at any rate, glad you joined us this morning. Let's have a quick look at the weather before we go on.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 70 degrees. Downtown, 69. Anderson, 71.
Oh, you're not on. 71. You're not on.
Sorry about that. Greenville, Spartanburg, 70. Downtown, 69. Anderson, 71. Clemson, also 71. Today, mostly cloudy with scattered showers with a chance of thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-80s. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 40%.
All right. And so if you couldn't hear me before, this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. 87.9 Spartanburg area down to Greer. 97.7 here in Greenville. And 96.5 over in the Piedmont area. Be sure you let everyone know that the call or the signal, the frequency is different in different places in the upstate now. Sometime this week, there will also be a Pickens County Liberty version going up at 87.9. So we're glad for the expansion on the Tyranny Response Network. Just wanted to let you know, make sure you are aware of that. Also, I noticed that the tyrannyresponse.com website has changed tremendously, and Rip and Richie, none other than Rip and Richie, has done a marvelous job in coming up with a brand new logo, a brand new banner, and all that stuff for the Tyranny Response Network that looks just wonderful. It's a great looking, piece of work here. This new bumper sticker-like thing on the website. Anyway, if you head over to the tyrannyresponse.com website today, you'll be able to see the changes. And also, as you scroll down under the events tab of the Tyranny Response Network, you'll notice that this week we have on store several things. This morning is the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. Hope you can all attend this at the Sims Library off of Pelham Road. And that starts at 10 o'clock this morning. Now, I realize most of you are on your way to work, and attending a midday meeting is out of the question, but some of you can go, and I hope that you do. I hope that you will go, and perhaps we'll see you there. Make sure you introduce yourself to me and others at the meeting, then let them know that you came there because you heard it here on the Tyranny Response Network, especially Christian Worldview. A little later on this week, we have some other meetings, at least one, the Libertarian Party meetup at the Cafe Underground just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville will be on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Apparently, the Constitution Party is going to be meeting on the 5th Thursday. That's the 29th, this Thursday. So that's it should have been meeting last week, along with the Greenville County taxpayers, but there may have been some confusion in their meeting this week. So if you would like to attend the Constitution Party meeting, I believe it will be at the Greenville Downtown Library coming up. Just some events for you to keep apprised of, abreast of, on this the Upstate South Carolina happenings this particular week of November or September, the last week. In fact, it is the 26th day of September 2005. Forgot to mention that earlier. And we're just really glad that you decided to make us the beginning of your week. What a better way to begin your week than to think a little bit better and get an alternative view of the news than right here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Well, we have a book here I want to talk about. It's called The Hunt for Confederate Gold. Now, I haven't read this book yet. It's a novel by Mr. Thomas Moore. Now, Thomas Moore was one of our esteemed surprise guests at our Friday get-together. Remember, every Friday at the China Walk Buffet on Pelham Road, right near I-85, TRN and its friends has a luncheon. It's a late lunch, starts about 1:30 or 1:40 in the afternoon, and we usually stay there till around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're invited to come if you'd like to meet the Tyranny Response Unit, and as well as be supportive of the others, some other folks like the Christian Exodus Movement, the League of the South, and just various other Constitution Party members, Libertarian Party members, all sorts of folks come there. Well, Thomas Moore, who's now living in Virginia, came down and shared with us his novel. He was so elated to turn the dial and hear something about the Christian Worldview show and some of the things that I was saying compared to what he hears elsewhere on the radio waves, that he was beside himself and had to come by and say hello. Now, of course, he's a great fan of the South, and his book, The Hunt for Confederate Gold, promises to be an interesting book. It's a story about the Confederate gold that disappeared from Richmond right towards the end of the War of Northern Aggression, and was then apparently moved elsewhere. Some people say it was moved to South Carolina. Other people have different theories. There's all sorts of stories about it. This is a fiction book that takes off of that, of people finding the gold and so forth. Should be kind of a fun read. Anyway, he's a fan of the South. He's a fan of liberty. He's a pro-life libertarian. He's a man who's now left the Republican Party for good reason, as many of you should be leaving. And he's joined ranks with others here like mind as us here at the Christian Worldview Show. So we were glad to meet Thomas Moore and see his new book and hear about what he's up to. He'll be a great supporter, and he'll be sure to promote the Tyranny Response Network on the webcast as much as possible up in the Virginia area. I believe he's up towards Washington, D.C., of all places. Yes, what a place. Well, I was there myself for some time, as obviously studying, but anyway, there are worse places one could be. What's happening in the rest of the news? I'm not sure. Is there a worse place you can be than Washington, D.C.? Yeah, Washington, D.C. is a very wealthy city. Why not? After they're looting so many people, they have lots of money around. This top stories of the day, Louisiana drowning. This is such a pitiful and pathetic sight, watching all this water down there. On one hand, I think to myself, boy, I'm sure glad I chose to not live in Louisiana. On the other hand, my heart goes out to people who are harmed and having difficulties there, especially the believers in the area, and we should all be in prayer for them and considering their distress at this time. It's a tragedy from all this flooding in the aftermath of these sorts of things. At any rate, that's the main headline of today. There's also an earthquake that hit northern Peru towards the jungle, 7.5. And more people killed in Baghdad violence. You know, it used to be that the Baghdad violence would sort of get right up on the top of the list of things. You know, more people have been killed. Now it's just a daily occurrence, you know, another dozen people, another 100 people, another 5 people, and they just add up. And here, 10 more killed in Baghdad violence. A homicide car bomber killed at least 10 Iraqis in an attack near government buildings in Baghdad on Monday, police said, raising these week's death toll from violence in and around the Iraqi capital to 36. Wow. U.S. forces and the Iraqi government tried Monday to reach out to moderates, especially in Iraq, especially in the Sunni minority, but by beginning to release 1,000 detainees at the notorious Abu Ghraib prison in honor of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which begins next week. So more bloodshed going on over there. If you're interested in giving us a call here at the Tyranny Response Network and the Christian Worldview Show, remember our phone numbers are 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Or you can try our backup line, which is 864-201-6955. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're actually not up for a break. We've changed our break schedules. I was about to go to a break here, and I realized that our break schedule has changed slightly. Let's go on to something else here that's important. How about the Worldviews book by Stephen Yates? Yes, the Worldviews book, this little power-packed book about the philosophy of theism, that's Christian theism, versus modern materialism is out. If you're one who's a thinking person, you need to get a hold of this book and read it. Dr. Stephen Yates, of course, is an important supporter of free market libertarian, pro-life ideas here in the upstate. He's also concerned greatly with the FTAA and has been active in that campaign. And Dr. Yates, we're glad we're able to have him up here in the upstate. It's nice to have so many like-minded folks here, especially academics up in the upstate. And we hope you'll be able to get a copy of his book. The Worldviews Project book can be obtained by writing to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, at 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216. That's 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's 29615. It says on the brochure here 29625, but I don't think that's right. I think that's 29615. At any rate, hope you can get a copy of that book from Dr. Yates. Well, my wife was reading through some medical news yesterday. This is actually from Internal Medicine News, September 15th, 2005. Letter to the editor says, meddling feds spur healthcare cost. Predictably, neither the commentators in the health savings accounts debate made an effort to correctly diagnose the problem. They just want to treat symptoms, an approach that we physicians should know is not optimal. Will health savings accounts leave people vulnerable to bankruptcy? Pro and con, June 1st, 2005, page 12. Diagnose first if possible and then prescribe. The symptom, obviously, is the high cost of medical care. Neither Dr. Steffi Woolhalander nor Greg Scandlin diagnosed the reason why medical costs are high. They just argued how to help people pay them. One is left to assume that they think high costs are inevitable because of the technology involved, the length of time and costs incurred in the medical training, etc. In fact, medical costs are high for a completely different reason: government regulation and restriction of medical resources for the consumer. The combination of the Food and Drug Administration and state licensing provisions increases the cost of making medical resources available, and naturally the costs are passed on. They also act to restrict the supply of medical resources available, which increases costs through the law of supply and demand. These government regulations tend to be self-perpetuating in a subtle but pernicious manner. Once granted a partial monopoly on the legal ability to supply medical resources to consumers, both physicians and drug companies have an interest in maintaining the monopoly. We therefore will object when the proponents of limited government propose to do away with the FDA medical practice acts. The government should have no role in the provision, licensing, regulation, restriction, or any other aspect of medical care, save quarantine in the case of communicable diseases that threaten public safety. This is Jeremy Klein, MD, from Louisa, Kentucky, writing. Boy, has he got it right. I mean, that last paragraph was beautiful. You know, it's so rare to find a doctor, a physician out there who actually understands some basic economics, but this guy obviously does. He said, just to read that last sentence again, or the last mini paragraph, he says, the government should have no role in the provision, licensing, regulation, restriction, or any other aspect of medical care. Save quarantine in the case of communicable diseases that threaten public policy or public safety, excuse me. One citizen should be free to pay another citizen for any medical service or advice procedure that the latter agrees to perform for the former. Any citizen should be free to purchase any medication from any citizen who wants to sell it. It is inappropriate and immoral for the government to involve itself in these matters. What makes anyone think that the government is competent to tell citizens who is a good physician and which medicines are safe and effective to use? It certainly wasn't what the founders of this nation thought that government was designed to do. I realize that many people would view the abolition of such regulations with horror. However, it is by no means clear that what would happen if the regulations were abolished. For more than half of this country's history, there was no federal involvement in medical care and little state involvement. It is likely that, were all those regulations abolished, medical care would be so plentiful and cheap that there would be far fewer underserved people than there are now. And that's, again, Jeremy Klein, MD, from Louisa, Kentucky, writing in Internal Medicine News. And he was writing on the September 15th issue. Great letter to the editor. And he's right. I completely agree. Need to privatize everything having to do with medical care. And you are listening to Christian Worldview this morning, 87.9 in Spartanburg, 97.7 Greenville, 96.5 Powdersville and Piedmont. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Well, here's a brand new article on the WorldNet Daily exclusive commentary. It's called, it's from Doug Powers. He says, homeschool your kids and save the planet. That's right, homeschool your kids and save the planet. This is the true environmentalists. Fossil fuel, enemy of mankind, it burns dirty, spews its smoky bilge into the air, clogs our lungs, and causes global warming. Yeah, well, we don't believe that. But at any rate, and yes, even strengthens hurricanes, or so we're told by some. How can this be combated? Homeschooling is a good start. It might sound crazy, but it's a solution even Al Gore should embrace. School buses alone burn hundreds of millions of gallons of diesel fuel every year, which is harmful to the environment, not to mention the fact that our children stand next to those idling smokestacks, loading their lungs with more toxic gunk than they inhale, in riding Willie Nelson's tour bus with the windows up. What can we do about this problem? Well, for example, Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue asked public schools to take two early snow days on Monday and Tuesday to conserve fuel. Jackson County, Kentucky recently voted to switch to a four-day week to save money. If fuel continues to be a problem, look for more of these moves to be made by school districts. The county needs more inventors, entrepreneurs, and geniuses of all sorts who, in part, they can come up with more efficient, cleaner, economical fuel independent from foreign sources. How do we accomplish this? All I know is the answer is the nation's fuel woes probably won't come from a generation that didn't attend school due to that very problem. After reading about schools closing to conserve fuel and save money, it occurred to me that homeschoolers have had it right all along. No gas-guzzling bus is required. Maybe conservatives should turn homeschooling into an environmental issue instead of an educational one. This may encourage some of those on the left to embrace the movement. After all, homeschoolers are helping to save the planet, right? This leads us to the agenda of staunch environmentalist Al Gore, who, from all indications, is gearing up for another run to the White House, is one of the biggest believers in global warming, is going to kill us all if we don't do something soon. Like Al Gore president, I don't believe that Al and Tipper were the inspiration for the book Love Stories, it was once rumored, but I'm relatively certain that the script for the film, The Day After Tomorrow, was downloaded from Gore's brain via the internet he invented, of course. We need to ask Mr. Gore if he would back a proposal to encourage more people to homeschool, if not for education, for the beneficial informational, environmental qualities. It'll never happen, though, through control. Control. Well, I'm having trouble reading this. I'm sorry, folks. Control is the only form of power to emit poisonous fumes that the government has no interest in cleaning up. A group of 500 kids in one building is easier to direct, finance, and of utmost importance, control curriculum than those of 500 kids were scattered around 350 different homes being taught God knows what by heaven knows whom. One of the biggest threats, if not the biggest, to the future is global warming, according to Al Gore. If this is the case, how about a radical suggestion? What if candidate Gore were to propose that if a school district spends, say, $7,500 per student per year, we offer the same amount to families who would like to homeschool instead? This will, of course, assist the homeschooling family tremendously, and most importantly to the environmentalist, it could save literally hundreds of millions of gallons of gasoline from being burned. Under the environmentalist argument, this in turn will help to halt global warming and even lessen the severity of hurricanes. Planet saved, nirvana achieved, hand-holding and singing commences. If Gore made this proposal, he could secure the votes of both the greedy, polluting, heartless, capital pig conservatives and the tree-hugging, between-jobs, deodorant boycotting liberals. And we'll all be so excited to vote for Gore, we won't timidly dimple that Chad will punch it clean through to China. Okay, I'll never vote for Al Gore, but you get the idea. What if all those homeschooling families are not qualified to teach? Well, how much will kids learn not going to school that's closed because administrators are trying to save money on gas? Whether you're for homeschooling or not, you have to admit there's something seriously wrong with the public system when the solution to an energy problem is to stop educating our children. I'll bet anything that government isn't telling the IRS to stop collecting junkets in order to conserve gas. Doug Powers' columns appears every Monday on WorldNet Daily in various newspapers across the country. That's cute. I have to admit I like that. It's an interesting thing to hear that sort of thing. Enjoy it very much. Don't forget about the Sims Library event today, the Americans for Constitutional Government, at 10 o'clock if you can make it. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. and on the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. We also have a meetings going on elsewhere in the upstate. In fact, there's some libertarian gatherings elsewhere, such as Clemson, Tuesday, September 22nd. That's tomorrow night. And in Clemson, there'll also be a Libertarian Party cookout coming soon. Doesn't actually have the time where that's going to be. But in Clemson, you're going to have them at the Mellow Mushroom. That's 189 Old Greenville Highway in Clemson. They'll be meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. So hope you can attend there for that Libertarian meeting. In Greenville, of course, there's the one downtown we've just mentioned. I have not got the information on when Spartanburg's coming up. I know they had one last week, and we wanted to give that information out for the new Spartanburg listeners, since we've just been transmitting in Spartanburg for the last 3 or 4 days, and we're glad that we are, but have not been able to get all of that information back from them yet. So if there is a Libertarian Party meeting up there in Spartanburg, we're not aware of when it is, but we'll find out for you real soon. Well, what else is going on here today? Well, there's always, as usual, a lot of things. Here's a kind of a funny one that came from Rebecca Sutherland, the former Libertarian candidate for Senate here in South Carolina. Amish balk at tagging livestock. They call it the mark of the beast. That's cute, isn't it? Amish balk at tagging livestock. Call it the mark of the beast. And this is by Chris Baldus from the La Crosse Tribune in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He says, "It's the mark of the beast, say Amish farmers, and they want nothing to do with it. The Amish feeling is that the premises registration may be a step one of a five-step project that may lead to the tagging and trafficking of adults and children," said Dave Mathis, state chairman of the Ranchers Cattlemen Association, our Action Legal Fund, Stock Growers of America, Republican from California, USA. The state is requiring anyone raising livestock to register their premises regardless of the operation size. The consortium of livestock industry groups handling the registration says the first of the three steps to create a national tracking system to help contain within 48 hours breakouts of diseases like mad cow or foot and mouth. The Amish say it's the beginning of the mark of the beast, and our Bible has told us of the mark of the beast, said Mathis. Some Amish farmers reached Friday said any computer-based tagging will cost people their salvation, and they referred to Revelation chapters 13 and 14. USA and Amish farmers in the state are among those worried that a national livestock tracking system will require implantable computer chips and a national database. I'm going to skip down a little bit here. U.S. Representative Colin Peterson, Democrat from Minnesota, has authored a bill to create the tracking system, although he didn't specifically call for implantable chips. Well, at any rate, keep your eye on that whole business about tracking your cows with implantable chips, and the Amish calling it the mark of the beast. Might well be. Who knows? Here's Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, Democrat from New York. We all know her. A potential presidential contender in 2008 said she will oppose the nomination in prepared marks. She said, desire to maintain the already fragile Supreme Court majority for civil rights, voting rights, and women's rights outweighs the respect I have for Judge Roberts' intellect, character, and legal skills. That came from Covenant News. Are we surprised that Hillary's not going to vote for the Republican nominee? No. Although, she might find out that if she does vote for him, he's exactly what people want. Or what she wants, I should say. That is a neocon. A liberal in conservative clothing. A liberal that can deceive all of the conservatives out there and thinking the evangelicals, at least, that they've got their man. But like George Bush, end up doing just the opposite kind of stuff and don't serve the interests of evangelicals whatsoever. I was sad to hear my own pastor on Sunday even mention in somewhat of a positive light Judge John Roberts from the pulpit. He didn't really give it big approval up there or anything. He just kind of mentioned it in a positive light. And I thought it was very sad because preachers need to be doing what they can to expose this kind of stuff. By the way, if you're looking for a new church to attend, the current church where I attend, Heritage Bible Church in the upstate here, basically on the edge of Greer, they are spinning off a brand new church start called Emmanuel Bible Church. It's going to be down off of Woodruff Road in the Greenville area. If you're interested in helping make a difference in a new church, you might want to consider attending. For right now, the new church start has about 85 folks attending and meeting at the Fellowship Hall of Heritage Bible Church, its mother church, at 3:15 p.m. every Sunday. Hope you can make it out next Sunday and show your support if you're interested in finding out some more about what's going on about the church. I'm getting a high sign from my esteemed colleague and producer here in the studio. But anyway, if you want to attend the church, we hope you'll come by and do so on 3:15 p.m. on Sunday. Heritage Bible Church, where is it located? At Old Spartanburg and Hudson, right at the corner there. Old Spartanburg Road and Hudson. Hope you can attend. Hope to see you next Sunday, if not before. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, 87.9 in Spartanburg, 96.5 in Powdersville and Piedmont, and it's 97.7 here in Greenville, as well as the webcast all over the place. Stay tuned now for the Bill of Rights and a quick break, and we'll be back in just, maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this 26th day of September 2005. And let's have a quick look at the weather, if we can. Or, Will, is the weather ready to look at yet? All right, let's take a quick look.
Greenville, Spartanburg, 71 degrees. Downtown, 70. Anderson, 71. Also, Clemson, 71. Today, mostly cloudy with scattered showers with a chance of thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-80s, southeast, south winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 40%.
Well, here's an article by Erich Pratt, September 24th. Katrina educates the world on the need for owning guns. This is from News with Views. Katrina educates the world on need for owning guns. All our operators are busy right now. Please remain on the line. An operator will be with you shortly. Your call is important to us. Can you imagine any words more horrifying after dialing 911? Your life's in danger. But there's no one available to help you. For several days, life was absolutely terrifying for many New Orleans residents who got stranded in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. There were no operators. There were no phone calls being handled. Heck, there was no 911. Even if the phone lines had been working, there were no police officers waiting to be dispatched. Hundreds of New Orleans police officers had fled the city. Some took their badges and threw them out the windows of their cars as they sped away. Others participated in the looting of the city. To be sure, there are many officers who have acted honorably. Many have given their best effort to apprehend dangerous thugs, even while grieving the loss of their own family members. But thousands of residents were trapped inside a city, forced to fend for their own safety and well-being. It was pandemonium for a couple of nights, said Charlie Hackett, a New Orleans resident. We just felt when they got done with the stores, they'd come to the homes. Hackett was right, which is why he and his neighbor, John Carillon, stood guard over their homes to ward off looters who, rummaging through their neighborhoods, were smashing windows and ransacking stores. Army looters did eventually come to Carillon's house. Armed looters did eventually come to Carolyn's house and demanded his generator, but Carolyn showed them his gun and they left. Now imagine when he showed them his gun, he didn't actually just like pull it out of the case and say, isn't this a really neat looking AK-47 I've got here? You see how this kind of works, how clean it is and how sweet looking. Now I think they meant it had a magazine installed, and indeed, there was a cartridge in the chamber, and the barrel was being pointed towards the armed thugs. That's probably why they left. I'm assuming that's at least, at any rate. No wonder then that gun stores were underwater, were selling firearms at a record pace to people looking to defend themselves. I've got people like you wouldn't believe. Lots of people coming in and buying handguns, said Riley Reed, the assistant manager of the Easy Pawn store in Baton Rouge. We've even had soldiers coming in here buying guns, Reed said. Indeed, firearms were the hottest commodity in the days following the massive destruction. In Gulfport, Mississippi, Ron Rollins used his firearm to stop looters from rummaging through his storm-damaged property. Roland and his son even performed a citizen's arrest on one plunder and then warned future thieves by posting the message in his yard, "No trespassers, armed homeowners." Signs like this were common throughout the Gulf Coast in the days following Katrina and should be serve as a reminder to us that the police can't always be there to protect us. We should have learned this lesson more than a decade ago when the entire country saw horrifying images during the Los Angeles riots of 1992. For several days, that city was in complete turmoil as stores were looted and burned. Motorists were dragged from their cars and beaten, further aggravating the situation. Police were very slow in responding to the crisis. Mary Guardsman, after being mobilized to affect the areas, sat and watched the violence because their rifles were low on ammunition. Very interesting. We have an incoming call. Welcome to Christian Worldview. You're listening to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Morning. It's Paul. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Paul. Good. I haven't heard from you in a little while. Good to hear your voice again. Hope everything's great.
Yeah, we've been busy as bees over here.
Well, that's good. I mean, you can't complain when you're busy. Of course, people like you to stay busy when you're not. Then you can't be involved in the fight for freedom so much. You know, that's one of the drawbacks of being busy with work.
Well, it's like everything else. Case of good news, bad news. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but if we're having a rainy morning this morning, so I've got some extra time, so I figured I'd call in and mention that. Actually, I think it's a good thing that the kids really don't learn anything, of importance in school anyhow, really, except to, disobey their parents. So a couple of days off a week may not be a bad thing.
Yeah, the guy in that article really didn't highlight the point we've made several times on the show, that the best thing that can possibly happen, Paul, and I agree entirely, for a public school student is that he would be forced to stay home, because it's better for him
exactly.
Not to learn any of the nonsense he learns in a public school and just stay home. But of course, the guy who was writing the article, he's I don't know if he's a neocon, but he might be. You know, he just happened to get a little glimmer of light and some truth there, and hadn't been able to make the complete leap over yet to see the whole picture, I think.
Well, it's incremental, sure enough. One thing leads to another. Before you put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they call social studies, used to be history or civics, and they call it social studies. So, you know, people be clued in, but it takes a while.
Sure.
It sure does. And the other thing I want to talk a little bit about was the peace rally in Washington over the weekend. I'm wondering if you're familiar with it at all. I heard reports that there were several hundred thousand that showed up, and I don't know if they're socialist peaceniks, but at least they were, you know, trying to expose it that the war of Iraq is just to make more money for a few corporations, and like every other war, really. And so, but I haven't heard Katie Couric yet talk about it. I was wondering if you're familiar with it.
No, I hadn't heard anything about this at all. Of course, I believe what you're saying is accurate about the few people getting the payoffs from the war over there. But tell us more about the peace march and so forth. What's going on there?
Well, again, the news has been it hasn't been in abundance, but a few alternative small sources, and there are several hundred smaller activist groups got together, formed a coalition. And decided that a peace rally was, that Cindy Sheehan woman, she was there. Native Indian groups, probably some socialist, clueless socialist peacenik types. But generally speaking, I thought it was an interesting event. I seen some of it broadcast. Hmm. And, people would get up, they talk a little bit about, like we talked about the Halliburton situation and the other. Some of the other corporate interests that were getting awarded contracts without bidding.
Hmm.
Just wasting people's lives.
Yeah.
For no good reason, and the oil's probably going to go to China anyhow,
Yeah, I guess if you're a real wealthy businessman there in some of these lack a very ethical base in your principles, what's a few thousand lives if you can get another $1 billion or something?
Oh, I think these people, a few thousand, a few million, a few hundred million, it doesn't matter to them.
Yeah.
I think it matters. I don't think it matters a bit.
The
more population control, the better.
I used to not be so cynical as I am now, but after seeing so many years and years of this stuff going on, and watching who really benefits from it, I become more enlightened in my perspective, I think, in seeing that this state really goes out of its way to be in a bloodthirsty manner to benefit itself at the expense of certain groups of constituents. And I think
that's
we
right.
See
the
that.
Bigger, the bigger the crisis, or the more crises. The more they like it, they become more powerful, more wealthy, and they can siphon the money up through these few select corporations.
Hmm.
Or not even corporations, just a business. Who knows if they're corporations or not? And that Edward Griffith fellow really does a great job of documenting that.
In his book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, you mean?
Yeah. And that's a great book. He's done some I would say low budget videos. He does a very good job explaining the international banking system tied in with these huge multinational, the biggest multinational corporations. How they definitely benefit from crisis, and does a good job of documenting how they really create the crises.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Funding socialism and communism, for instance, or these type of conflicts. After all, Saddam Hussein was our man. People mm-hmm. freely forget that. Neocons can forget that he was our man. Now he's not.
Right. Yeah, this is interesting stuff. For a lot of people, it's shocking to think of the state this way. After having done my graduate work at George Mason, I had my initial shock there in the mid-1990s when I began hearing people question the goodness of the state, and that political actors might not actually be there for our best interest, but might be there for the interest of themselves primarily, or their friends, and what they want is money and power, like any other unsaved or unregenerate man. In fact, anybody for that matter, Christian or otherwise, can fall into that kind of trap. When I began to realize that state actors aren't different than anybody else, it was a shock for me and my worldview, I'll have to admit, because I'd always been indoctrinated by public school and the media and so forth, that these guys could never do anything wrong, they would never do anything bad, this is America after all, and what a tragedy that such indoctrination goes on, and What's worse is it's so widespread nowadays that most people believe it. But you know, Paul, we're coming up to a break here. Do you want to hang on through the end of the break?
Well, no, I think I'm going to have to get to work, but I agree 100%. I think we're trained to believe that the state, you know, any mistakes are just understandable bungles, you know, no one's perfect type of thing, but it's not that way at all. These things aren't a mistake. These people are brilliant in their own right. You have to, you know, you have to tip your hats to that.
Mm.
But they do create and benefit from these crises. They sure do.
Yeah, they sure do.
It's a shock. I don't think many people, I know it was a shock for me, and many people I talk to cannot overcome the shock. They cannot.
Mm. All right, Paul. Well, appreciate the call this morning.
Thank you for the great show, and we'll be calling again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Okay.
And you've been listening here to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, 87.9 in Spartanburg, 97.7 in Greenville, 96.5 in Powdersville, Piedmont. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's a quotation from Major R.E. Wilson, Confederate States of America of North Carolina Division, If I ever disown, repudiate, or apologize for the cause for which Lee fought and Jackson died, let the lightnings from heaven rend me and the scorn of all good men and true women be my portion. Sun, moon, and stars fall on me when I cease to love the Confederacy. 'Tis the cause, not the fate of the cause, that is glorious. Great quotation. As the Tyranny Response Network often finds, us just great quotations, have to admit. I've got a good staff out there. Well, except, what is it that I just remembered? Oh, I forgot. So it went out of my mind. There was something that they forgot to do, and I was going to chide them gently this morning, but, well, we'll leave that for another time. Federal judge halts New Orleans gun seizures. This is from Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation. Bellevue, Washington, September 23rd, the U.S. Newswire. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana this afternoon issued a temporary restraining order on behalf of the Second Amendment Foundation and the National Rifle Association bring an end to firearm seizures from citizens living in and around New Orleans. District Judge Jay Zaney issued the, what a name for a judge, huh? Jay Zaney issued the restraining order against all parties named in a lawsuit filed Thursday. Skipping down through, it says, over the past 3 weeks, he continued, residents who had lost virtually everything in the devastation following Hurricane Katrina had also essentially been stripped of something even more precious, their civil rights and their right of self-defense because of these gun seizures. So it's good news that we've got the restraining order now, and we're glad to see that these groups have been active going on with what's going on down there. What would you do living down there? Would you just cave in and give in to these guys, these thugs, these government or state agents when they come and take away your guns? I hope not. But, I mean, the alternative is to start shooting them. And what would that bring? Well, it might bring the inevitable. It also might stir up things to the point where we might go into a police state, a full-blown military kind of police state here in America. It might also be that we get the upper hand, and the military in large measure joins with us, and we're able to throw the bums out the way we need to. I don't know. But certainly we don't gain anything by just handing over our arms and allowing things to be seized and just going along our happy and merry way under Big Brother's shadow. Well, here's some criticisms of George Bush. You know, once in a while we do criticize George Bush. Before I do that, I do need to mention the Times Examiner. I'm going to back up a minute. I've got two stories here to criticize George Bush, that the research staff have found. And why? Some people say, well, why do you criticize George Bush so much? Well, he's the president. He's a neocon. He's a deceiver. He's one that goes against what we stand for here at Christian Worldview and what Christians everywhere should stand for. So, you know, if it were Bill Clinton in office, we'd be criticizing him more. But George Bush is there, so he's the one who gets the wrath. That just makes some sense. Should make some sense. We're not arbitrarily picking on Bush as opposed to other neocons. Just that he's the big guy with the big stick right now, with the big mouth and the black heart. At any rate, here's about the Times Examiner. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, try the Times Examiner out. A weekly subscription is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. And you can pick up a copy at 44 Pine Knoll Drive, or just have it mailed to you every week for $25. You can call 864-268-0576 to start your subscription. That's 864-268-0576. You can also call David and ask for him by name at 859-6817 if you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner. Inexpensive, helps the paper, and helps your business. 859-6817. That's 859-6817 to place your ad with the Times Examiner. Make sure you ask for David specifically. Well, here's a couple of these George Bush stories this morning. Bush clears the way for over-the-counter abortifacient sales. Pro-aborts get what they want. Bush asked the FDA commissioner to resign. Washington Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Lester Crawford resigned unexpectedly yesterday, 2 months after he survived a tough summit confirmation. Crawford told his staff at 67 it was time to step aside. President Bush immediately appointed Dr. Andrew von Eschenbeck, director of the National Cancer Institute, acting commissioner. Sources familiar with his departure said Crawford was asked to resign. In August, morale in the agency plummeted after Crawford indefinitely postponed non-prescription sales of the abortifacient contraceptive pill, Plan B, over the objectives of staff scientists who declared the pill safe. The agency's women's health chief resigned in protest. So Bush caves in. This guy, Crawford, was actually trying to do the right thing, and Bush instead asked him to resign and clears the way for over-the-counter abortifacient sales. Are we surprised that George Bush would do anything to support abortion? No, we are not here at the Christian Worldview Show. You might be. Other evangelicals might be, if they even know about it. Most evangelicals just assume that if he's a Republican, he's on God's team, and not realizing that, in fact, the opposite is the case. What else have we got to know about George Bush? Well, here's an article called Franklin Delano Bush. Now, that's a play. For those who are younger than, say, the baby boomers, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the second most, if not the most, probably the second most evil president. Although Ben Graydon did think he was third because he thought Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, was worse. I have to remember that phone call from our Memorial of Villainy show back in May. Anyway, Franklin Delano Bush, trying to combine the two. That's what neocons are. They're a combination of the rhetoric of Ronald Reagan and maybe Thomas Jefferson with the heart and actions of socialists like Lyndon Johnson, Franklin Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and Abraham Lincoln. Well, this is Andrew P. Napolitano writing on this article, Franklin Delano Bush. What is the proper constitutional role for the federal government in the post-Katrina reconstruction of the Gulf Coast? Should not this subject be debated seriously before Congress mortgages generations of Americans yet unborn with the obligation to repay $200 billion in loans? Don't expect it, he says. Don't expect it. What's going on with all this stuff? You know, why is George Bush out there passing out the cash? This is what the whole article is about. Let me skip down towards the bottom. When he ran for president in 2000 and again in 2004, George W. Bush told voters hundreds of times in describing tax dollars words to the effect, "It's your money, not the federal government's." As a candidate, he attacked the nanny state. What happened to him? Nothing happened to him. He's a liar. He's lied the entire time to get the evangelical another vote. And now he's doing what he's always wanted to do. He's a scoundrel. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a neocon. This is what neocons do. They have no problem with lying to the American people in order to get elected. So why are we surprised? Mr. President, what new natural disaster exacerbated by political incompetence will the federal government pay for next? The remedy for political incompetence is not more money in the hands of an incompetent. It's to vote the bums out of office. To vote them out of office. Good point. And we appreciate this particular article this morning. Well, here's another great story that's unfolding. We hope that somebody has a comment on this or knows something more about it than what we've got here. Hooray is the subject line here. Hooray, Hendrickson beats the IRS. Hendrickson beats the IRS. The Department of Justice faces reality, even though the IRS won't. Both cases against Hendrickson are dismissed. For the second time now, the U.S. Department of Justice has withdrawn its support from IRS efforts to suppress Cracking the Code, the fascinating truth about taxation in America. Earlier this week, U.S. attorneys representing the department formally abandoned efforts to enforce two IRS's summonses issued as part of a desperate effort by the agency to keep this transformational book out of the hands of the American public. Even though the IRS won't face the reality that it has no legal means to accomplish this goal, the Department of Justice hasn't any choice. The awkward reality the IRS does face is that it has no legitimate dispute with the information in Cracking the Code. Indeed, the government has been routinely acknowledging the accuracy of that information for well over a year now in the most telling possible fashion, by responding to readers who act upon what they learn with refunds of every penny withheld for federal taxes, including Social Security contributions, the cancellation of liens and levies, and the wiping of even decades-old liabilities off the books. After these responses, though required by law, are inconvenient to the agency's primary objective, which is to maximize the revenue taken into the Treasury period, the IRS engaged in a proactive effort to hamper, discourage, and possible, if possible, forcibly halt my distribution of the book and posting of related information on my website, losthorizons.com. At the same time, the service has been seeking to secure the names of Americans who have purchased the book. Presumably, this is so these readers can be directly targeted with a scare campaign intended to intimidate them into not acting upon what they have learned, because it is noted above, once those readers have acted, it's too late to thwart their lawful behavior and to close the barn door. Well, this is interesting stuff. If you know more about these particular cases, I would like to know about it. If you have a question or comment for the show, of course, you call us here at 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You can also call us at 864-201-6955. We're always interested in seeing what's going on, especially with Hendrickson's book. We've talked about it several times here on the show, and I've read the book. It's a great book, telling you why you actually don't have a liability or an obligation or even obligation to pay the income tax, as many people often believe today. And you are listening to Christian Worldview this 26th day of September 2005 with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, 26th day of September 2005, and let's have a quick look at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 72 degrees, downtown 70 degrees, Anderson 72, Clemson 71. Today mostly cloudy with scattered showers and the chance of thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-80s, chance of rain is 40%.
Okay. A couple quick stories that the research staff has illustriously sent up, or somebody sent them to me. Doctors are the third leading cause of death in the U.S., causing 250,000 deaths every year, by Dr. Mercola. Now, this is an interesting claim because everybody dies, okay? So is he saying that causing 250,000 deaths, is this Dr. Mercola saying that the doctors murder people, or that they don't cure people, or is he saying that they do something to quicken or hasten a person's death? Well, I'm not sure what that means, but this was forwarded off the Beckworks list once again. 12,000 are all these deaths per year, they say, from the following: 12,000 from unnecessary surgery, 7,000 from medication errors in hospital, 20,000 from other errors in hospitals, whatever that means, 80,000 from infections in hospitals, and 106,000 non-error negative effect of drugs. Non-error negative effects of drugs. These total 250,000 deaths from a year from iatrogenic causes. What does the word iatrogenic mean? I don't know. Let me see. This term is defined as induced in a patient by a physician activity, manner, or therapy used especially for a complication of treatment. Dr. Starfield offers warnings in interpreting these numbers. First, most of the data are derived from studies in hospitalized patients. Second, these estimates are for deaths. Only do not include negative effects associated with disability or discomfort. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, I don't know about all this stuff, but maybe somebody else knows. Are doctors really hastening the death? I think that's what he's saying. They hasten the death or accidentally kill 250,000 people per year. I don't know. How many people do doctors save per year is another interesting question. You know, economists always look at the cost-benefit ratio on certain things. Now, if somebody were to write an article and say, well, doctors save 5 million lives per year, and extend the lives and lessen or retard the premature death of 5 million people, that article ought also to be read, and then you'd have to decide, well, okay, is it worth seeing doctors? Well, the chances are, assuming the number 5 million would be true, 5 million to versus 250,000. You know, take that ratio into account before you go, and there's a chance that you're going to die, but there's also a chance that your life will be extended if you go to the doctor. What are you going to choose to do? The expected cost might be lower than the expected benefit, and so you'll still go see the physician. So pointing out only the costs of things doesn't really tell us whether or not we're going to want to take action or not, if that makes sense to you folks. I mean, yeah, there's accidents, there's pollution, there's all sorts of problems that are caused by things, but that doesn't necessarily mean we eliminate them as long as there are some beneficial aspects of doing something and there's no compulsion or coercion involved, forcing people to make a choice. So that's how I would temper that sort of thinking. It's interesting commentary to bring this sort of stuff up and talk about it, but I'm not sure where it really gets us. Now, I know that there are many doctors out there who are prescribing things that aren't useful for folks, and they actually have bad side effects and are deadly, and that's a whole different issue, what kind of treatment you give people. Maybe there's a better kind of treatment available, but do we really want to, you know, how far do we want to castigate doctors for actually practicing what they do? Not sure that I have the answer to that. Be happy to discuss it with you, though, here on the show. If you have a question or comment, please do give us a call at 864-244-8177. WorldNet Daily is reporting that politician is caught in a tearful lie. Parish president fabricates claim about the feds leaving co-workers' mom to die. The president of Louisiana Parish tearfully told national TV audience in the heartbreaking story of a co-worker whose mother was left to die in a flooding nursing home days after Hurricane Katrina immobilized New Orleans. But it turns out the story isn't true. He's a Democrat trying to pander to gain votes out of the whole situation. Yes, government agents are willing to do that kind of stuff, believe it or not. They are truly willing to act on their own self-interest, and apparently, according to World.Daily, this guy that was crying on the air about this fellow's mother who died in the nursing home was actually lying the whole time. Isn't that amazing? Well, here's a couple other things coming over the wire this morning. Beast means worldly dominion, according to Lloyd Kinder. He's writing on LouRockwell.com. Brian Morton from Christian Libertarian sent the story up. The prime directive of the church. No one shall exercise dominion over others. And this is from Article 10 at HisHolyChurch.net. Now, what in the world? I'm reading something here from a guy named Brother Gregory. And maybe I'm not going to read this. It's a bunch of scripture verses, which is good. And I'm wondering if we're not going to do something Catholic here. This has happened before. I haven't pre-read something that came from Christian libertarians, and all of a sudden something from the papal shrine showed up here. But let me scan down here a little bit. The beast is any government or ruler that exercises dominion. Well, that's an interesting statement. The previous section, prime directive, showed that God and Jesus' foremost commandment is that no one exercise authority or dominion over others, except perhaps as a last resort in defense of oneself or others. In this section, we'll renew biblical references to beast to further insight of this precept of peace. Well, that's interesting. Okay, so he's saying his premise is that the beast is any government or ruler that exercises dominion. And he's got 2 Kings 14:9, Psalm 73:22, where King Asaph said, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before you." Beast here probably means when he uses brute force in human relations, especially in ruling others, as Asaph was a king. I didn't know Asaph was a king. I thought he was just a guy who wrote Psalms. Anyway, you have more Psalms that are being used and talking about the beasts. Well, this is an interesting Bible study. I'm not sure what to make of that. It's a rather long article. Anybody have any insight about the use of the word beast in general? Does it always mean this? That, you know, government exercising dominion, it shows that it's evil. Titus 1:12-13 says, the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts, slow bellies. So here the word beast is used again. No, I think there's some significance in Revelation chapter 13 about the beast from the sea. I do believe this is referring to the Domitian's government in particular, but government or the state in general, as it exercises and lords it over people. I think the beast, the government or the state, I should say, is indeed a beast in the book of the Revelation. But I don't know if I'd go so far as to highlight beasts everywhere in the scriptures and make a claim that they have to do with what's his thesis again? The beast is any government or ruler that exercises dominion. But that would include all sorts of beasts. I mean, it's true that governments or rulers that exercise dominion over people, except for self-defense as a last resort, perhaps, is acting beastly and wrongly and coercively and sinfully. I agree with all that, but well, I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say that every time the reference to the word beast is up in the scripture, it has to do with the state. That seems like it's a little bit of a stretch to me, but I'm willing to learn and to listen and to take to heart new ideas. So if anybody has a comment about that, I'd be happy to talk about it here on the air. Here's another article, Conservative Socialism by Alexander S. Peek, LouRockwell.com. Again, this is also sent by Brian Morton up at Libertarian Christians. So the modern conservative, who is in fact not a conservative at all, is one that has adopted on a rhetorical level the perspectives that were classically liberal, especially in regard to market liberalism, but yet has perverted these principles into something distinctly authoritarian. The perversion is not uniquely their own, however. Neoconservative adopts an ignorant, self-denied love for the New Deal-styled socialism and increased regulation. Lies are nothing new to politics. It's arguable that neoconservatives have lied to us on a regular basis on a variety of issues ranging from foreign policy to the supposed destruction of the nuclear family, which they claim would result from allowing homosexuals the same rights as held by heterosexuals. But in each of these cases, the lie's impact is diminished by a healthy level of skepticism. Yeah, I'm skeptical about what I'm reading here once again, but we'll continue on. But in each of these, or the most successful lie propagated by neoconservatives would have to be the conclusion that they are fiscal conservatives. Few of us, unfortunately, question the existence of a free market appreciation within the ranks of these compassionate conservatives. Give the people a few small tax cuts, call your opponent a fiscal liberal, sit back and let the votes roll in. Well, that's what George Bush has certainly done. Now, I will have to say that anybody who's in favor of making marriage a state institution, and that includes so-called gay marriage, which are really sodomite unions, these things should have nothing to do with the state. The state should not sanction them, license them, give them permission, or people who are normal, heterosexual people, should not be giving them either a license. It's unnecessary, it's wrong, it's unbiblical, it's Christian, something Christians should be opposed to entirely, licensing of marriages by the state. The whole thing goes away, becomes a non-issue as soon as the state's out of the picture. So this whole business about mentioning that here, I think, is a mistake when it comes to the homosexual issue he brought up. Anyway, let me skip down a little further in the article here. It seemed to no one in Congress wanted to acknowledge that the last budget Bush signed into law was too big. All anyone talked about on Capitol Hill were the cuts and how they would improve or hurt the economy. Were cuts made in places, but overall the budget increased 7% from the previous year. That's 41% higher than even Clinton's biggest budget. How many times are people going to be fooled by George Bush? I don't know, but they continue to be mesmerized by the guy and the evangelical. Well, some of them have lost some faith since this latest war business, but sadly, George Bush has never been a true conservative. Well, we're coming up to time for another break. I've got another story here by Gary North on LouRockwell.com. I think we'll take that up when we get back. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back shortly.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The hurricane was a breeze compared with the crime and terror that followed, said Greg Harris, a psychotherapist who lives in the battered area. Yeah, I bet, with all the gun control and FEMA messing around, it was a terrible time for sure. Here's John C. Calhoun, another good, great political theorist and from the South, of course. The error is the assumption, he says, that the general government is party to the constitutional compact. The states form the compact, acting as sovereign and independent communities. That's shocking language for a lot of people. Most folks figured that the federal government sort of was the instigator of all this, or party of it. Fact of the matter is that it was created through the states, which in compact formed the federal government. Interesting stuff. Well, here is Gary North's comment today. I won't read the whole thing as usual. It's a little too much to read here, but he says, by the time you're reading this, I'll be locked up. I can hear some critics thinking it's about time. There's nothing like a weekend in a maximum security prison to enable a person to appreciate the blessings of liberty. And this is his article, I'm Behind Bars, by Gary North. I do this several times a year. I'm part of a volunteer ministry called Kairos. That is the Greek word for special time. A distinguished form of chronos, clock time. The organization is well named. It offers a very special time. Anywhere from 30 to 40 free worlders go into a prison. We sit at tables with hardened criminals. There are guys here you would not like to meet in a dark alley. Yet by the end of this weekend, a few of them will have their lives transformed. I've seen it happen again and again. This is why I keep going back. Prison is a really bad idea, he says. In the Bible, the only prisons are in empires. Joseph in the Egyptian prison, John the Baptist in a Roman prison, Peter and Paul in Roman prisons. There were no prison system in the Mosaic Israel. This is no accident. There were punishments for the Mosaic Israel. Restitution to the victim, whipping and execution for certain crimes, but there were no prisons. Why not? Because there was no need. The criminal owed no debt to society. I have to agree with Gary North on this. Of course, the theonomic perspective is going to try to bring out all of those civil rules from the Old Testament and apply them today to current governmental standards and state standards. But be that as it may, one can still not agree with some of the tenets of theonomy and accept the fact that the theonomists are dead right when it comes down to getting rid of prisons. The Quaker idea of people becoming penitent in penitentiaries is absolutely fantastical. It's absurd to consider that we would actually have people sorry for their sins sitting behind bars and then repent and be transformed. It doesn't work that way in prisons. Prisons are expensive. You end up having to pay money to keep people in there, and those people are not able to provide for anyone else's needs or do any productive work while they're in a prison, and they continually exacerbate crime problems, at least in my opinion. prisons are a bad idea. They're a stupid idea, and they're part of a parcel of a bad theology of the Quakers, and only attributable, as Gary North rightly points out, to empires in the past, just as they are today with empires here in the United States. So good article this morning from Gary North. Here's one more we have as well on. Well, let's see here. Eric Grumbles Before the Grave. What's Eric Grumbles Before the Grave? Father, husband, Desert Storm veteran, privacy and security officer, sci-fi and Linux fan, geek, rational anarchist, classic liberal. What do you want to know what all that means? Well, that's what he has at this admin, or Eric Grumbles Before the Grave kind of site here. He says, a roller coaster, our son was hit by a... And the reason I'm reading this, you're thinking, why are you reading this guy? Well, usually when Brian Morton sends me stuff from Libertarian Christians, most of the time it's good stuff, or at least good for commentary, so I'd like to pick up and read it. Well, here's what he says on a roller coaster. Our son was hit by a car on Friday afternoon on his way to home from school. He was riding his bike, wearing a helmet, and carrying his bike. Okay, he was riding his bike, wearing a helmet, and carrying his bike. Don't understand that, but I'll read on. The car was going about 20 miles an hour when it hit him. My wife saw the whole thing happen just a couple of blocks from our home. After rolling up the hood of the car and hitting the windshield with his, he was thrown to the ground before she could get to him. He tried to stand up, apparently. She called 911, and she ran to him. My wife called me, but had a very sketchy details. Our son had never lost consciousness, but couldn't control the movement of his legs and was very out of it. I left work and headed for the ER. And he was very out of it. I left, and the ambulance took off about the same time, and my wife headed out as soon as she was done talking with the police. The ambulance got there first, then I did, then 2 minutes later. The ER was locked, and you had to go to a guard station to get in. Normally, it's a very painful process involving phone calls to the nurse's station or so before you can get in. Apparently, the guard decided I didn't need to go through all of that and escorted me to the ER right away, where a social worker took over and got me into the examination room where my son was. I got there just in time to see the doctors taking the collar off his neck and examining his spinal column. He was taken to UC Davis Medical Center, and which has one of the best trauma centers in California, as well as Pediatrics ER, which is there where he was. Within 5 minutes, it was clear that David had no spinal injuries, concussion, or major broken bones. The doctors described each step they were taking, and they let me know the outcome. About the time my wife showed up and stayed with our son while I went to the social worker to take care of the admittance paperwork, insurance, etc. Then I got back to the ER just in time to find out that the doctors wanted to do x-ray lab work to rule out any broken bones or internal injuries, but felt that the risks were low. At that point, we decided that I would go out with my daughter to wait for my wife with my son, blah, blah, blah. He's telling a story here, which is a human interest story, of course, and we're interested in human interest stories as they come along the web. Not sure, and I think he's had some interesting things about to talk about Hurricane Katrina here as well. All of these things point to us, one thing does, and that's the brevity and transitory nature of human life. You know, we talk here at Christian Worldview about things that are important politically, they're important economically, they're here to educate people, help them think about the things that we believe are important as far as our social environment goes and transforming our culture. But ultimately, folks, without Christ, you have an eternity in hell. You have an eternity that is hopeless. And these reality checks that come to us once in a while, like children almost being killed when they're hit by cars, or you know, hundreds of people dying because of a natural disaster, help us to get a perspective on life that is realistic and something we need to think about. And, at any rate, I appreciate the story coming in today. We have a caller in line. I want to jump to the caller a minute. Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
This is James. I just wanted to find out a little bit more about... I was listening to you here in Spartanburg.
Yes.
Yesterday, Saturday and Friday. And I was wanting to know if you got a copy of that thing you was playing on the radio.
Okay, which thing are you talking about, James?
Information, you're talking about the Christian cause during war and the military, and you were quoting scripture and stuff like that right there.
You're talking about the Liberty Minutes programs. Well, a lot of people enjoy the Liberty Minutes programs, James, and I appreciate you calling and asking about that. And there is a way that you can get all of that information. Now, let me give you two quick places you can go. The first place is policyofliberty.net. That's my my website. Yeah, policyofliberty.net. And when you go to policyofliberty.net, you'll see a tab there for articles and papers. And under the under articles and papers, you'll have a list of everything I've ever written, pretty much, and a lot of the audio recordings of what you hear on the radio. That's
okay,
one.
So you do sell the recordings?
They're free. They're not. They should be for sale, but we just encourage donations to the Tyranny Response Network. Actually, so you go ahead and download them onto your MP3. A more concise area to find these recordings are, and by the way, you can donate simply by going to policyofliberty.net front page or to the tyrannyresponse.com website, and either one of those, there's a donate button. Well, there's two other places you can get my audio files that regularly have them. There's actually three other places, but the two other places most that are most easy to get them are the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website. That's our radio station's website. If you look under the audio tab there, you'll also find them there. And finally, libertarianchristians.org, that's libertarianchristians.org, has also set up the online course, all these latest, these last 10 public policy theology liberty minutes are there for you on libertarianchristians.org, all in line with the text you can read along with the audio. So if you're looking for a more of a course material for those kinds of themes, those 10 themes, that's probably the best place to find it is the libertarianchristians.org site. They've done a good job. But it's also available at policyofliberty.net and as well at tyrannyresponse.com. All of those are there. And we do encourage people to send that stuff out. It's part of our teaching ministry here, the Liberty Minutes programs. What we talk about in the Christian Worldview Show is really lightweight compared to that. But really, the other stuff, James, is where people get a true understanding of the truth.
Yes, sir. That's what I wanted to get a hold of. I really enjoyed that yesterday, Saturday, and Friday, and I just really wanted to get more information because I got a lot of family members.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling them about it, and I told them that I was going to try to call and to get some more information or get some CDs. They asked me to get some CDs or something where they could listen to it, too, because they're spread out through North Carolina and Georgia. And I told them I ain't never heard your radio station until just recently, and here in Spartanburg. And I told them that I've been trying to tell everybody to try to tune into you.
Great. Well, we appreciate that. James, we just recently got up to Spartanburg, and at 87.9, we have a lot of new listeners up there, and we do appreciate the encouraging words and trying to help people. Not encourage them to listen, but help them understand the truth by passing out those links I just gave you. They can listen anywhere immediately just by going to a link. It's a wonder of the internet. But you're more than welcome to download those onto an MP3 player or an iPod or to a CD-ROM and burn it and make copies and pass them out. And there'll be two more of those Liberty Minutes coming up. There's a total of 12, going to be at least 12 in the online public policy theology series. So when you go to libertarianchristians.org and see 10 of them there, just realize there'll be two more added in the next, probably the next 2 months.
Okay. So you are located in Greenville.
I am. That's right.
Okay. And you wouldn't know a way to come to Greenville to get that stuff either.
No. It's all on the internet. That's the only way we distribute it, and it's pretty easy to get right off the internet. Just downloads in a few seconds, and you'll have it all.
Okay, all right. I have to go to somebody who's got the internet because I don't have it at the moment. But I can go to somebody that could do that for me, I believe.
Yeah, I think if you go
to, I just wanted to,
I think a library would also allow you to do it if you bring one of those USB keys with you, and they should be able to download it there. I'm assuming so, or go to a friend, as you said.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your show, and I'm glad up here in Spartanburg, because I believe this country is going to a communist state, and and Christian people are being prosecuted against every day. New things happening, and Christian people are asleep, and they need to wake up and see what's going on around them.
Well, amen.
I appreciate your show.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Grant. James, we appreciate you calling, and do call back again. In fact, that's a great way to end the show today. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come to the end of the show. We look forward to having you all back again tomorrow morning for another great edition of Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.